Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. In what is perhaps the oldest book of the Bible, Job advises, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. One very good way to acquaint ourselves with God is to consider the names by which he has revealed himself. In his message today, A.J. Overton points out that God is not an impersonal principle or an aimless force. The names God gives for himself reveal a person with a mind and a will of his own. I'm happy to introduce our Message to Israel voice for the current series on the names of God, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings once again, dear friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. My message today centers around the first name God reveals in the Scriptures, Elohim. One of the finest means by which we may comprehend something of the nature of God is by giving earnest attention to His revealed names. In the Hebrew Scriptures, a name was often an indication of the individual's character or of some peculiar quality he possessed. Thus, the names of God instruct us concerning His character and His attributes. In the days of King Saul, young David, the son of Jesse, was active in his court and army. In all of Israel's affairs with their enemies, we read, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much esteemed. So much more do we esteem the names of God. The psalmist declares, "Holy and reverend is his name." Again, the psalmist exclaims, "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee." The book of Job advises, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, or literally, yield now and be at peace with him. The revelation of God's great names often was given in connection with a special crisis or need. Thus it was in those difficult times during the days of the prophet Malachi that we read, "They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and notice, and that thought upon his name." How comforting his name may become! The writer of Proverbs truly declared, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." We may be grateful that human failure and sin has called forth more and deeper revelations of God's grace and fullness. Each of God's revealed names bears a spiritual meaning that resides in His nature. All of these scores of names, however, used in the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, originate in three primary names of God. The Hebrew forms are Elohim, Adonai, and Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is the name of convenience used in the place of God's covenant name with Israel, a name never uttered in ancient Israel except by the high priest on the solemn Day of Atonement. In addition to these primary names of God, the Hebrew Scriptures give us the revealed compound names of God. The Hebrew primary name, or its root in these uses, is compounded with another word to emphasize God's character and His special concern and supply for man. His names thus become a source of information concerning God's transcendent personality, His freedom, His purposefulness, His self-sufficiency, and His omnipotence. His names witness at once against any idea that God is an impersonal principle or an aimless force or energy. He is the almighty person with a mind and will of his own. Questions concerning God often arise. Who is this God? Even Pharaoh demanded this knowledge when Moses and Aaron stood before him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go. Who is this God? He soon found out. The answers to questions concerning God become more and more clear to us as we consider God's revelation of Himself in His great names as recorded in the Bible. God's name appears in the opening statements of the Scriptures. In the beginning, God. This first name through which God is revealed is the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim occurs over 2,500 times in the Tanakh, that is, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. In this first chapter of the first book of Moses, Genesis, Elohim is used exclusively, appearing in this chapter some 32 times or in nearly every verse. Elohim is the plural of the singular form El. The name El itself is translated God some 250 times. In the Hebrew language, these words El and Elohim mean mighty and strong. As the name for God, they mean the all-powerful, almighty one. Elohim expresses the general thought in its origin of greatness and glory. The great rabbi from Tarsus, later known as the Apostle Paul, used the Greek equivalent of this name, Elohim, when he confronted the philosophers on Mars Hill. He declared that God made the world and all things, that He possesses and rules heaven and earth, fills all space, whose being needs not the aid of men, and through whose will, power, and agency all things, men and nations, have their being. How appropriate to our need that God should first reveal Himself as the one who brings cosmos out of chaos. It is Elohim who out of darkness brings forth His light, His life, His own image or likeness into the creature and makes all things new and pronounces them as very good. Some scholars state that one of the roots of Elohim's derivation implies the meaning to declare or to swear. This indicates that Elohim acts in power and authority to establish a covenant as the creator and ruler of the universe. The meaning of Elohim, as indeed the other revealed names of God, is to be found not only in its origin but by its usage in the Hebrew Scriptures. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. God reveals Himself in His creative and governing power. We observe His omnipotence and His sovereignty. We observe Him in His dealings with mankind through Noah, Abraham, and others as one who establishes His covenant as creator and ruler. Elohim brings great blessing and comfort to those who trust Him. For Elohim, as God's great revealed name, signifies the personal and supreme being who in faithfulness keeps His covenant relationship with His creation. This usage of Elohim in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, as God's revealed name, preserves the original truth of the one true God. The ancient heathen nations also used this word. They so darkened and corrupted the truth concerning God that they worshipped as Elohim not only the whole heaven, but any of its three conditions, fire, light, and air. The word Elohim is used only in a secondary sense in the Scriptures when speaking of other creatures. It is important to observe that although plural in form, Elohim is always accompanied as God's name by verbs and adjectives in the singular. One of the greatest of the Old Testament expositors stated the following, Come and see the mystery of the word Elohim. There are three degrees, and each degree is by itself alone, and yet they are all one and joined together in one, and are not divided from each other. Here we observe God in His tri-unity. How different from the concept of polytheism or the belief in and worship of a plurality of gods. The Scriptures, by contrast, teach that God in tri-unity consists of three persons existing in one substance. The Shema, the very center of Jewish faith, declares, "The Lord our God is one." This last word, one, is echad. Echad is a compound unity noun that demonstrates oneness or unity, but contains several entities. Echad occurs in the opening chapters of Genesis, the first book of Moses. The evening and the morning were the first, or one, day. The word is echad, one day consisting of both evening and morning. When God declares husband and wife would be one flesh, echad is used. Echad, thus, is used to indicate oneness in the compound sense. Over and over in the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, this truth of the triunity of God is revealed. How blessed it is to realize that God, Elohim, is not a lonely monad who existed in solitary desolation from all eternity prior to his creation of angels and men. His has always been a blessed communion. The faithful Creator cannot fail his creatures. Though they be unworthy, yet he is Elohim forever. He says, therefore, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for there is no God, Elohim, besides me. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear." To this one, Elohim, we may come only through Yeshua, who is the image of the invisible God. For God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Will you bow your knee to him?